joy. May redemption be the theme of our song. For by grace we have been saved, and by grace we shall proclaim to the corner of the earth that Christ is come. Oceans suffering loss shall endure all things to win the crown of life. Let the nations be glad, let the people rejoice, for salvation belongs to our God. Let the whole earth be filled with the praises of the Lord, for salvation
of white roses. Supposed to be 30 of them. I'm not sure how many are there. Ben and Nikki Buckner have been working in Papua New Guinea, and they've been there for several terms, and just this morning, which would have been probably 12 hours or so ago, they baptized 30 believers. And to say that, it's exciting, but when you think of the significance of the work and the labor and the sacrifice that has gone into reaching them, it's phenomenal going into an unreached people group, into an unreached tribe, and being able to get them to the point of understanding and responding to the gospel. And so we celebrate that. We're excited about that. And we recognize that here at home, we got to get busy, right? If you have your bulletin, I want you to take it out. There's a number of things I want to touch on this morning, just to make you aware of, get you up to date with. We are doing a series on missions this month. Next week, Dan Dundor is going to be bringing a message to us. He's one of our missionaries from Israel, and he'll be sharing with us next Sunday morning. And then on the 24th, I'll be doing a missions message, and we will be celebrating the commissioning service of Rob and Reba Donnelly as they're going into full-time work with Friends in Action. And so we'll be celebrating with them, and we'll have a commissioning time and prayer with them on that Sunday. So make sure you're up to speed and participating in the services that are coming. If you are watching online, we've got lots of room for you here. Come join us on Sunday mornings. You may have to get up and put some clothes on, but we'd love to have you here, okay? And I think it is so important in the times that we are living that the church comes together, that we worship together, that we lean on each other more. And, you know, something that's absolutely amazing you may not be aware of, we have more room in prayer meeting on Wednesday nights for you. And we would love to have you here. I think one of the most discouraging things for me through this whole process since last spring is the minimal number of people that think prayer works enough to show up and pray. And so we need you here to pray with us. And so come out on Wednesday evenings for that at 7. A couple of things in your bulletin, the annual reports. If you are a ministry leader responsible for a ministry report, it has got to be done and turned in today if you would like it in the annual report. Otherwise, it may not make it in, okay? And so this is kind of final notice with that. Get those in today. You can email those to the church office so that the ladies have those tomorrow morning when they arrive and they can compile them and put them and get them printed up. The annual meeting is coming up on the 31st of January. That is not just for members. That is for attenders as well. Only the members will have voting privileges on that evening, but we do give updates on some of the things that are going on at the church with missions and finances, with the elders and the deacons and that, and it will help to get you a better understanding of the ministry here at the church that's taking place. Now, there's an insert in your bulletin this morning. Everybody take that out. This is important. We have just added new software to church management systems, okay, here at Lebanon Valley. And it is something that we are using for church finances. It's something that we're using for church communication. It's something we're using for the church calendar. And we need to update information, okay? If you are new to the church family and a visitor, you can get on the QR code there with your phone, take a shot of that, and it will pull up a site where you can get in and give us a little bit of information about yourself. If you do not use QR codes, you can go to the web page that's listed at the bottom of that. If you are a regular attender or a member, we would like for you to update your profile information. We haven't done this for a couple of years, and so this is an important update for us. Some of you were saying, how was I supposed to know we didn't have church last week? Well, we want to get you into the system so that you get the emails, and we will actually have the ability to send out a text message on the mornings that we have closings, and we'll try to get that posted on our webpage and posted on Facebook and some other things with that. But we are not putting that on the radio stations and TV stations. We have just found that it's more productive to do it this way, but you've got to be in the system to get the information. Okay, so do your profile update. That can be done by the QR code. That can be done by going to the web page and looking for the profile update, or if you flip the sheet over on the other side. Okay, if you want to do it as the scribes of the New Testament did, you can take the form on the other side and fill that out. And in the back, in the little stand that's at the top of the stairs, there's a box there, a little green box. Just drop these in there on your way out this morning, either after church or after Sunday school. Aaron's preaching this morning. Don't do it during the message. Okay, but if you get that filled out, you can drop that in. Online giving has also needing updates. If you are doing online giving, you will need to take the QR code and go to that or go to the web page and update some of that information, because that is all being integrated into the software, and the online giving avenue is something that we would encourage you to use if you're not able to be here or if that's more convenient for you. But you will need to update that information so that it's correct and that we are able to get what we need to, and you are able to do what you need to. Now, this is something that I woke up struggling with, and I want to share with you a little bit. We are living in such interesting times. This week has been a week like no other, and the things that have happened with at the Capitol and with communications and a lot of those things is changing very, very rapidly. The president has been taken down from his communication ability through Twitter and other online platforms. And I believe one of the only avenues he has left to communicate to the nation is through the emergency broadcast system. I read an article just this morning that many of the cell phone companies are doing updates on their cell phones even to remove the emergency broadcast information coming through to your cell phones. So you need to be tech savvy enough and aware enough to go in and shut off your updates, or you may be cut out of news sources and information that is coming. Okay? As a church, we want to be able to communicate with you as well. Fill out those profiles and get them in. There very possibly could be a day coming very, very soon where we lose the ability to even communicate through our phones, through our computers, through the internet. And that could all be shut down on us. The body of Christ needs each other. And so be savvy enough to figure that out, or come and talk to somebody that can help you. I am not terribly tech savvy, but I can point you in directions that can get you some help with some of those things. We have become so dependent on those information streams online and through our phones. And we are headed for some very interesting days, not just in the next few weeks, but in the next several years. But God is still on the throne. The Apostle John wrote these words, and it was in your Bible reading this morning, if you picked up your reading schedule, in chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 15. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. But you have an anointing by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who's the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us: eternal life. The one who is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So do not be fearful. He has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But be prepared. The days will become more difficult. The psalmist, and perhaps my favorite of all the psalms, writes this in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes the wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. You know how it ends? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Father, we have come to celebrate new life in Christ with a hope that is only found in the gospel. And as we do, Father, may we lift up our voices. May our hearts be encouraged. Renew our strength as we wait upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and worship.
your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the palace clean, His blood availed for me. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of Thy name.
You may be seated.
Take out your copy of the scriptures, if you would. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We'll be reading beginning in verse 2. I believe it's page 985 if you were using one of the Bibles provided for you there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Let's pray together. Father, with your disciples, we pray this morning, and we ask you, teach us to pray. You've been so faithful to us. Give us a hunger. Give us a burning burden to be able to cry out to you. You are so faithful. Thank you for the church here at Lebanon Valley, for the families that are represented here, for the ministry that has been represented here through the last several decades. Just for the privilege we've had to make impact through our missions, through our outreach, both in this valley and around the world. Thank you for Ben and Nikki's work in their ministry there in Papua New Guinea, and just the report that they were able to send back, that we can rejoice together with them and seeing that a church is being birthed. I pray, Father, that you will give Ben, Nikki, and the other missionaries in that area just great wisdom and discernment in leading that group of believers. And for our missionaries in so many other places in the world, Father, who are waking up with the anticipation today of opening your word and proclaiming your word to the people, I pray, Father, for courage, clarity. I pray for just faithfulness in how they handle the word. And I pray, Father, for transformed lives. I pray for Aaron as he comes and stands before us in a few moments and shares your word in his heart in regards to our involvement in missions. Oh, Father, use this. to spur us on. Use this to challenge us to climb out of our complacency when it comes to sharing the gospel. Father, you have set the stage. You have created the opportunities. You have commissioned your church. Find us faithful. Find us faithful. Father, we know that there are many in our church family that are struggling, going through very difficult times, not able to be with us on Sunday mornings. I pray that your grace would abound in their lives. I pray that you would strengthen and encourage them, renew their hope. I pray, Father, for those whose vocations and businesses and livelihoods have been just so stretched or even shut down over the past months, that you will be their supplier as well. Father, we're learning a lot about ourselves through these days, but we're learning a lot about you as well. You are so faithful. Your faithfulness is new every morning. Your grace abounds daily in our lives. Teach us to love one another. Teach us to be aware of the hurts, to be aware of the needs, to be aware of the concerns, to use the resources we have with great wisdom, to use the influence that we have with great wisdom as well. For we want to be honoring to you. Be with our parents as they are raising their children in these troubling times. Help them to be open and honest with their children, to be able to use your word accurately as they explain, as they encourage and challenge their children. Be with the marriages of our church, Father. We know that added pressure from the outside causes added pressure on the inside. And I just pray that you will help the husbands to lead their homes and to lead their families. Help them to love their wives as Christ loved the church. I pray for unity. I pray for not just unity, Father, so that couples can get along, but I pray that there would be unity and harmony in the home and in the family and in the marriage, so that a model is demonstrated to the world of the relationship between Christ and the church, even in the midst of difficult times. Father, as we look at the year end and how you have supplied financially for this ministry, we are overwhelmed. We recognize that it all belongs to you. It's your supply, and you have entrusted to us above and beyond what we could ask or think. And so I pray for wisdom and diligence in the leadership of this church, that the management of the resources you've given us would be honoring to you, and that it would be used for the furtherance of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the leadership that you have placed over this church, for the men who have served faithfully that are going off, both the elder board and the deacon board. Thank you for them, but also for those who are coming on in leadership, that you would just equip them and prepare them. I pray that our leadership would be above reproach. I pray that we would all be approachable as well by your people, and that we would be faithful to your word. We commit the remainder of our service to you. We commit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
I don't know if there are any children in here, but they are dismissed for junior church.
Spirit of light, who has tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it, for a wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsty to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new song. 'Twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
You may be seated.
In the mid-1980s, a husband and wife with two young children and a third on the way sat in the sanctuary of their church listening to the final challenge of a week-long missions conference. The whole week, God had been working on the heart of the husband and placing a burden for missions in his heart. The challenge was given to the people in the congregation at the end, and it was the challenge was to plan to go to the missions field, but be willing to stay and serve Jesus where you are. At the end of the challenge, an invitation was given for the people in the congregation to do just that, to be willing to go to the missions field, to plan to go to the missions field, but be willing to stay where they were and serve Jesus where they were. At that point in time, the husband got up from his seat and went forward. That was the point in time where God started that family down a road that was full of twists and turns. But God would use that family to help spread the gospel throughout the world. I don't know how many of you know this. Many of you do. Maybe many of you don't. But I was a missionary kid. And this is the story of how God called my parents into missions. And throughout the years, God used very, very many individuals and many churches, including Lebanon Valley Bible Church, to support and encourage my family. So today what we're going to look at is we're going to look at the sending church. And so what we want to look at with this is, as a sending church, as Lebanon Valley Bible Church, it is a critical component of a sending church to care for our missionaries well. And so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the responsibilities of a sending church. And as I was looking at this, I saw five responsibilities of a sending church. And so that's what we're going to look at today, five responsibilities of the sending church. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at the verses 11 and 12. And here Paul's writing, actually he's talking about spiritual gifts. So we're going to look here at verses 11 and 12. It says, For he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so the first thing that I want to look at with this, the first responsibility I want to see of a setting church, is to actually train up and to equip. And this is really, really important. The purpose of church, purpose of teachers in churches, and specifically in our church, it's to make sure that people in the congregation are equipped. This is a process, equipping people. It's not something that just happens overnight or happens quickly. People do not go from new converts to being firm in the faith and equipped for the work of service overnight. In our church, we can see this process of training up and equipping starts at a very, very young age. Things like Puggles, where we have an Awana program with 2- and 3-year-olds, where we begin teaching them from the Bible at a very young age. Junior church, where some of our children are right now. These are all things that start at a very early age to help children become equipped adults. And it is very useful to help children become equipped adults if we start teaching them from the Word of God early and teaching them truth early. You see, teaching in our church takes place in so many areas. We have Bible teaching that happens on Sunday mornings right here from behind the pulpit. We have junior church. We have Sunday school. We have prayer meeting. We have all the Awana clubs, Puggles, Cubbies, Sparkies, TNT. We have youth group, ladies Bible studies, men's group, and probably a few more that I've missed. But yet we have all these opportunities for teaching here at the church. And the purpose of it is to train up and to equip the congregation. So I would encourage you, take advantage of the opportunities that the church is putting in front of you to be trained, to be equipped in the Word of God, to grow in the Word of God. See, the purpose, again, of all the teaching that happens here is to train and equip you, to train and equip us for the work of ministry. I'd like to take a moment here and pause to thank all of the teachers that we have in this church who have been faithful for many, many years teaching all the Sunday school classes, all the Bible studies that happen in this church on a weekly basis. You are truly a blessing to this church. You are truly a blessing to us because you teach the word faithfully and you are equipping the next generation of Christians with the word of God. Thank you for your faithfulness in that. So, being equipped with the Word of God, being equipped for the work of ministry, is useless unless you do something with it, right? You see, if I go home and I know my oven heats up, right? And I know that if I heat up my oven and put my nice roast in there, and it will cook my roast, and I'll have a beautiful meal to eat at dinner time, right? Nice, tender roast. But if I don't actually turn the oven on and I just throw the roast in there, in a few hours, all I have is a wasted roast, right? If we don't actually use what we are equipped with, what we are taught with, then what was the point of being taught and equipped? You see, that's why here in Ephesians, Paul says that some are given as pastors and teachers for the work of equipping the saints for the service of ministry, right? For building up the body. And so that's the purpose of equipping the saints. It's not just to have a bunch of equipped people. It's to have a bunch of equipped people that do something with what they're equipped with, right? If you have a whole bunch of tools and you don't use them, you may as well get rid of them, right? God wants us to be equipped so that we will actually do the work of ministry. We don't want to waste what has been entrusted to us. If we are committed to being a sending church, which is what our goal is, our desire is, and we've been that over the years, we have sent out many, many missionaries, and we've helped to send out many more. If we are committed to being a sending church, we need to be committed to a church that equips the next generation. If we do not equip the next generation, we will have nobody to send. And when I say the next generation of missionaries, it might not be the young people. The next generation of missionaries going out might be some of you after your retirement and you have a little bit more free time on your hands, right? That might be the next generation of missionaries going out from our church. And we need to make sure everybody in this church is equipped because God might call any one of us to missions. So if we are not training people up, if we are not investing in people's life with knowledge, with training, and with a passion for missions, who are we going to send? We need to be a church that equips our saints. The next responsibility of a sending church is prayer. We need to pray. Prayer is a very important part of the Christian's life. And prayer needs to be a very important part of the sending church's ministry to its missionaries. Let's go ahead and look here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open doors, that doors will be opened to the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I am imprisoned, that I may make clear in the way I ought to speak." So Paul is right here instructing the church to pray, specifically to pray in certain ways, but also to pray in specific and certain ways for his ministry. And so when Paul is instructing the church to pray, he starts off with saying, pray faithfully. That's how he opens up this. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Paul urges the church to be devoted to prayer. And to be devoted to prayer means that you need to have fervent and repetitive prayer. I love this word, fervent. When I first read this word, fervent, I had no idea what it meant. I kind of have a vague idea in my mind when I read it, but I had no idea, and I looked it up in the dictionary because that's what I do if I don't know a word. And it says fervent, and it means marked by intensity. And it's such a cool word. And now that I know what this word means, I love it. It says marked by intensity. Our prayer life needs to be marked by intensity. See, fervent prayer takes effort. Fervent prayer takes time. And fervent prayer may require early mornings and late nights. But it's fervent prayer that is necessary. And repetitive prayer, because if we're devoted in prayer, we have fervent prayer, but we also have repetitive prayer. And repetitive prayer doesn't mean chants or mantras that you find in other religions. See, repetitive prayer is God placing a burden on your heart. And you can't help but pray about it. It is so burdening on you that you need to bring it before God over and over and over again. See, when our hearts are burdened, it leads us to fervent, repetitive prayer. It leads us to devoted prayer as we plead with God. And so that's what Paul is urging here. He's urging people to be devoted in prayer. And we need to be devoted in prayer specifically to our missionaries. You see, we need to pray many things for them. We should pray that they receive strength, that they receive rest, support, encouragement. We should actually pray specifically for their ministry as well. Devoted prayer, fervent prayer, is a very important part of a sending church. We also need to pray with thanksgiving. That's what Paul says. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Paul tells the church at Colossae to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. And we, the church, have plenty to be thankful for. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we have a lot to be thankful for. Even in light of what's going on right now in our country and in the world, we have a lot to be thankful for. See, we're able to be thankful for great and wonderful things like our salvation and God giving us his son, Jesus Christ. But we're actually able to be thankful for the more mundane things of life as well. We are able to be thankful for so much. All the things that we have in our life, we have because God has allowed them to be there. Our friendships, our family, a church, a place to worship, a Savior, Jesus Christ. All these things that we have are because God has allowed it and given it to us. So we need to come to him with an attitude of thanksgiving for all that he has done for us and given to us. And at the top of our list, we should be thankful for God pouring out his grace upon this world and sending his son, Jesus Christ. We should always have an attitude of thanksgiving when we come to our God in prayer. But then Paul asks that these people at Colossae pray in a very specific way for his ministry. And the first thing he asks for in prayer for his ministry is, pray for the same time as, this is verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so we may speak the mystery forth of Christ. Paul is asking that the church pray for opportunities for him to spread the gospel, for him to declare the good news about Jesus Christ. See, we need to have this mindset as we pray for our missionaries as well. We need to pray that they all have opportunities to share the gospel. Opportunities for our missionaries to share the gospel include things like praying for the hearers' hearts to be open and receptive to the word. It includes things like being able to have interactions that can lead to the presentation of the gospel. Opportunities for Bible studies. Opportunities for friendships with friends and neighbors and acquaintances so that they can have the opportunity to share the gospel. Opportunities to turn physical displays of God's love into times where the gospel can be shared. We need to pray for opportunities for our missionaries to be able to share the gospel. That is what we are sending them forth for. And we need to pray that they have these opportunities to share the gospel. See, that's what Paul is asking for. Paul is specifically asking for opportunities to share the gospel. And then we need to pray for boldness for our missionaries, that when they have these opportunities presented to them, that they will boldly share the gospel. We need to pray that the missionaries would have eyes to see the opportunities that God is bringing to them. How often do we miss things that God is putting right in front of us? They need to have eyes to see. And then we need to pray that they have the boldness to share the gospel and the opportunities that God has given them. And then Paul says, pray for clarity. Verse 4, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Make what clear? Make the gospel clear. Paul asks that the church would pray that he would make the gospel clear, that his presentation of the gospel would be understandable. And this is a really, really good thing to pray for. I think back to the first time I taught Sunday school here at Lebanon Valley Bible Church. It's probably close to 10 years ago now. And I was teaching the legacy builders downstairs underneath the admin wing. And I don't know, it was people that I was friends with, that I'd known for years. And there might have been 25 in the class, and I was scared to death. I had 8 pages of notes, full pages of notes. And I burned through 80% of my notes in less than 10 minutes. I don't know how you can talk that fast. I was so nervous. Sweat was rolling down my face. My wife is out there saying, slow down. And clarity is really important. How much clarity can you have when you're talking at 120 words a minute? When you burn through 8 pages of notes in 15 minutes? You can have almost zero clarity, right? There is so many reasons why we need to pray for clarity for the gospel. You see, if the gospel is not shared clearly, it's going to be confusing. People will not understand it. Things like language barriers, nerves, lack of preparation, lack of training, miscommunication, the list can go on and on of reasons why we need to pray for clarity for our missionaries as they share the gospel. If you just think to the last time you had a miscommunication in your own personal life, I'm guessing you won't have to think that far, probably just a day or two. And the person that you miscommunicated with, you most likely knew for years. The person you miscommunicated with, you speak the same language as them. The person you miscommunicated with, you might even be married to and know a lot of background information about them. And yet, there's still a lack of clarity in your communication with them. How much more so when we're bridging cultural divides and engaging people that we have just met, using a language that we have only been learning for a small amount of time to share the gospel, do we need to pray for clarity? We need clarity as the gospel is presented. Without clarity, we end up with confusion. Sharing the gospel is the most important conversation a person can have, and it needs to be shared clearly. We need to pray that the missionaries that are sent out from this church and missionaries all over the world will be able to share the gospel clearly so that people may come to know Jesus Christ. In order to make it easier for you to remember to pray for your missionaries, we have made up a whole bunch of prayer cards. They're about this big in a whole pack. All the missionaries that our church supports, plus all the agencies that our church supports, are included in that pack of cards. And they're in the back in our resource area. Pick up a pack of those cards, one per family. If you have one of the old packs, we actually updated these ones. There's some new missionaries in there. So pick up a new pack. Pick up one pack per family. Take them home. Put them on your dining room table. Pray for a missionary every night before you have dinner. Put them on your breakfast table so that you pray for a missionary in the morning with your kids before they go to school. Pray for our missionaries. They need our prayer. They need our prayer. We need to encourage our missionaries too. We're going to flip over to Romans, Romans chapter 1. At the time Paul is writing this, Paul has not even been to the church in Rome yet. He's never been to Rome at all. And he's writing to a church that has been established in Rome outside of his ministry, but he wants to give them some teaching and some instruction. And so he writes to them. Here in chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, we see Paul. And he says, "For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." See, Paul, as he starts this letter out, wants to go to Rome. And he wants to go to Rome and says to impart some spiritual gift. But then he clarifies that because he's not saying that I'm going to bring you some miraculous thing and I'm going to bring you healings or I'm going to speak in tongues to you. He clarifies that. He says, the gift, the spiritual gift that I want to impart to you is that we may be encouraged, you and I, by each other's faith. This is the Apostle Paul. He took the gospel to the known Gentile world. And he wants to go to a church where there are Christians, where he can fellowship with fellow believers and be encouraged by their faith. There is a huge need for us to encourage our missionaries. Oftentimes, our missionaries are in foreign lands, away from other Christians as they work in a language group, learning a language where the gospel has never been. How many Christians are in that place? The missionary and his family. There is not the opportunity for fellowship. They're busy translating the Bible. There's not many Christians, especially Christians of a deep faith that can build them up and encourage them. They are pouring into other people's lives without anybody pouring into their lives. It can be draining. Very many times, they don't have the opportunity to engage with fellowship with other Christians. I just think back to last year, about 10 months ago, when our church closed down for a few months. And I look back at how difficult it was for me not being able to have fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ for just a few months. I don't know if that was difficult for you, but it was difficult for me. And if it was difficult for you, take that experience and add to it a few years and a huge span of distance from anybody that you might have a friendship with or be related to or your home church. And then just imagine how lonely it can be at times to be a missionary. It can be lonely. It can be a discouraging thing. But that could actually also be true for our missionaries that are here in the U.S. on home assignment. It can be true of people that are overseas working in an established church teaching. They can be burned out. They can be lonely. They can be hurting. We have a lot of missionaries in this church, and we need to encourage them. And we need to encourage them well, and we need to encourage them regularly. But since we have so many, it would be very difficult for each one of you to get to know each one of our missionaries on a very personal level. So what I'd say to you is pick out from your pack one or two families that you could identify with well. Maybe pick out, if you have young children, pick out a family that has young children. If you are a little bit more advanced in years, pick out a missionary that might be a little bit more advanced in years. If you are a little bit more advanced in years and you love grandkids, pick out a family that has young kids. Encourage our missionaries. There's so many ways we can do this. We can do it by, in the packet, most of them have contact information. Send them an email. You know how encouraging it is to get an email? Tell them that you're praying for them. Ask them how their ministry is going. Tell them about your family. They'd love to hear about your family. Ask them about their family. Ask them about their kids. Encourage them with a word from the Bible. Something that is encouraging you, something that you're working through in your own life. Put that in an email. Send it to the missionary. Say, hey, God is teaching me this. It will encourage them. There's this really cool technology called Zoom right now. Sign up for a Zoom account. Have a Zoom chat once a week with a missionary. Have a Bible study with a missionary through Zoom. Engage them. When they're on home assignment, when they're visiting our church, take them out for lunch. Invite them to your home for dinner. engage our missionaries. It is so vital. It is so important. You see, when we do these things, we let them know that they have a support base back here in the U.S., that they have a support base of friends and family that and people that care about them and love them. It is crucial that they know this, and it's crucial that we encourage them. If the Apostle Paul desires to meet up with a group of Christians to be encouraged, don't you think that we should take the opportunity to encourage our missionaries as well? We need to interact with them. We need to love them, encourage them, and we need to support them well. This is a really critical part of a sending church as well. Financial support. We need to financially support our missionaries well. As we look at these few verses here in Philippians, we're going to see that Paul is thanking the church in Philippi for the gifts that they have given to them. Along with missions work, we find that people need financial support. This is because people are giving their lives to go out to a people group, oftentimes that has never been reached with the gospel, that has no opportunity in that village to actually make a living. People live in straw huts. They still hunt for food. They grow their food. We need to actually support our missionaries so that they can actually focus on language learning, focus on establishing relationships, focus on translating the Bible, focus on teaching the Bible. And so financial support becomes incredibly important as well. So if you go to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 15 through 20. Paul writes, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent the gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." As we look in these verses, Paul is sharing with the church at Philippi how grateful he is for their continued support of his ministry. There's times where Paul says, "You are the only church that has partnered with me and given a gift to me to help support my ministry. And multiple times in cities, I've received gifts from you over and over again to continue my ministry." And Paul is extremely blessed by this. Paul says that his needs are met so well by the church in Philippi that he has an abundance. That doesn't mean that he's just scraping by. It means that he has more than enough to make it through. More than enough to not have to worry about where he's going to stay or where he's going to get food next. He has more than enough to survive. And that is a huge blessing because now Paul can focus on ministry instead of focusing on making tents to earn a living. So it is a crucial thing that we support our missionaries well. You see, we need to be faithful supporters. We need to give consistently. And as a church, we do this very well. Did you know that our missions budget is the largest single budget item of this church? Largest single budget item in this church is gifts to missions. And it's about 40% of our annual budget is given to missions. But you know what? It's an amazing thing. And it's a huge number, 40% of our budget. But God calls us individually to support missions as well. We need to be faithful supporters of missions. I'm not saying that you need to give to every missionary that we have in the church, but pick a missionary and support a missionary, not just with encouragement, but with also your finances. And maybe that's the missionary that you decided you want to pray for and you want to encourage, that you want to get to know very well, and you decided that as part of that, you're going to send them some money financially as well to encourage them in their ministry. That is a huge blessing to them. To not have to worry about finances for a missionary is a huge blessing. I know that I've seen that in my life as a child. And there were times where it was lean times, but God always provided for us. In the lean times, we'd come home and sometimes find groceries. God is good. Those types of things are huge blessings to our missionaries. But what we saw here, as Paul is thanking the church in Philippi for the gifts that he gives, in verse 17, we see this interesting statement that Paul says here. He says, not that I seek the gift itself. Because even though this gift is a huge blessing to Paul, he's not seeking the gift itself. It says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases on your account. And so, Paul seeks the blessing of the person that is giving the gift. Did you know that if you give a gift, you're actually going to be blessed for it? It may not be exactly what you're expecting to hear right now. I'm not saying if you give a gift to a ministry, God is going to bless you so much financially that you'll have no worries. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not preaching anything prosperity gospel. What I am saying is that if you give a gift, you will have the amazing blessing of being involved in a gospel ministry, going forth, presenting and proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. And that is a huge blessing. To see lives changed because we're able to sacrifice a little bit here to give for somebody around the world so that they can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is where the blessing is. Being involved in a gospel ministry. You see, the blessing is found in lives changed. And it may be the life of the missionary that you are changing by blessing them with the finances. It may be the life of the people that the missionary is proclaiming the gospel to that is changed. But the gift that you are giving is going to change lives. And you know what? There's joy found in that. There's amazing joy found in that. Giving to missions is giving to God. And it's going to be truly amazing to see what God does with what we give back to him. God multiplies and God can do amazing things with what we've given to him. The final thing I want to look at today is a challenge for you here right now to be light. See, the responsibilities we looked at before here were responsibilities to equip, responsibilities to pray for, encourage, and support our missionaries. But as a sending church, we have more people here than we do in the field. And we have responsibilities right here as well. And so if you flip in your Bible to Matthew 5, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16. And if I ever get there, I'll read it for you. Matthew 5, verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will, or so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." This is our responsibility right here where we are. We are called to be light, and light is seen. I know this seems fairly obvious. Light is seen, right? But that's the first thing that Jesus says about light. He says, "You are the light of the world." And he takes that, and right after he says that, he adds a little bit more to it. "You are the light of the world." And he compares that light of the world to a city on a hill. Did you know that if you put a city on a hill, you are unable to hide it? Right? You don't put something up on top of a hill and then be surprised when people find it. Right? It's obvious. It's there. It's seen. Light is seen. In the same way as light is in the church is supposed to be seen. You and I are supposed to be seen. We are supposed to be different. If we look at this mountain range behind us here, we see a lot of beautiful trees. If there was a city on that mountain range behind us, we'd see it. It would be different than all the forest, right? We are supposed to be the same thing. We are supposed to stand out, be different. Paul says it this way in Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." A conformed person and a transformed person look very different. A conformed person looks like everything else. A transformed person looks very different. Now, light is seen. But as we look at light is seen, we need to be a little bit more specific how light is seen, right? Because just to be different is not good enough. Jerks are different, right? We don't want to be that type of different. We need to be different. We need to be seen. But what do we need to be seen as? Light also illuminates. Light illuminates. That's what Jesus says. Verse 15, nor does anybody light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And what does it do? It says, and it gives light to all in the house. Jesus talks about light, and he says people don't light a light and hide it. They light the lamp, and they put it up so it gives light to everybody, right? And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. We are to be the light. We are to be on display because we are different. But we're not on display because we're different and jerks. We're on display because we're different and followers of Jesus Christ. And part of being a follower of Jesus Christ is living a life that looks like a follower of Jesus Christ, but is also sharing the gospel with the lips and the tongue that God has given you. A lifestyle is good. Words that match lifestyle are great. Words that match a lifestyle have change, the ability to change people's lives. You see, the missionaries that we send around the world, that we support overseas, are not going to reach the people on your street. Why? That's not where they are. They are somewhere else. The missionaries we send around the world are not where you live. And there are people that need to hear the gospel where you live. There are people in your neighborhood, in your street, maybe even right next door to you, that need to hear the gospel. And the missionaries that we support have no access to those people, but you do. God desires that the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, be proclaimed around the world and also right here. That's why the Great Commission is recorded in the Bible for us. And the Great Commission isn't just recorded one time. The Great Commission is recorded in the Scriptures 5 times in 5 different books. Because God desires us, his church, to go out and share the gospel. He has not given it to us to keep to ourselves, but to share with others. The Great Commission is a serious thing. The call to be light in this world is a serious thing. It's not a suggestion. It is an expectation. So as we look today at our church, and that we are a sending church, and that we have this huge missions budget, we see these responsibilities of being a sending church. The responsibility to train up and equip the next generation to go out and proclaim the word of God. The responsibility to pray for, encourage, to love, to build up, to financially support our missionaries. But to top it all off, there is a responsibility for us also to take the gospel as well and share the gospel with the world. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you that it can grow us and challenge us, Lord. And I thank you for the many missionaries that we have around the world right now who are serving you and putting forth a lot of effort and a lot of time and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into proclaiming your name around the world, Lord. I thank you for that. I just pray that as a church and as individuals in this church, we would support and care for and love our missionaries well. That we will take this challenge seriously, Lord, and that we will pick missionaries to personally engage and to build up and encourage, Lord. Well, I also pray that we will take seriously the call to be light in this world and take seriously the call to spread the gospel to the people that we come in contact with here. In your name I pray. Amen.
Please stand with us and sing I Got Saved.
Erased chains of the past are broken. got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more? I've received nothing but goodness. I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. You got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. Could I want more? The love of God gave me his pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God pulls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. Could I want more? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Thank you for joining us today. It was a blessing to have you here. As you leave today, we do have Sunday school right after this. If you need help finding a Sunday school class, see one of the greeters at the door. We'll be able to direct you to the right place for where you want to be. And thank you for coming in today. Just got a couple verses I'm going to read as we close out. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.